If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
Stop it! Oh, it's so weird!
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Say politically correct that the look doesn't matter, but the look obviously matters. Like you wouldn't have your job if you weren't beautiful.
J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. I would bring back waterboarding. And I'd bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding. What I won't do is take in 200,000 Syrians who could be ISIS.
That's what the last year's been like, and more and more we hear all these stories of outrageous things that Donald Trump says, and the more outrageous he says, the more outrageous things he says, the more he seems to gain support. And on Facebook, it's becoming a battleground of anger, and there are people calling this station angry with us because they feel that we are dumping on Trump. And I think we've had our fill as far as this show goes. Every time something comes up, Michael, we address it like that story of the day.
Yeah.
And I think we are going to have one segment every Wednesday night at midnight where we will do all the Trump stories of the week and just address them there. And people can call in and let us know what they think, yay or nay. Or, you know, was it a good week or a bad week as far as the image that this nominee for the Republican Party running for president of the United States. And but I can't do it anymore. You listen to the clips that Craig has put together, and you know, to my ears, I go, that sounds horrible. And other people think, that's the guy. Yeah, waterboard Muslims and rapists who are from Mexico and make them build a wall out of rapists who are Mexican. So Esmeralda came up with a name for this. We were in Stephanie Menendez's office trying to think of what would we call this, you know, and Esmeralda, please tell people the name of our segment.
Was it Trump Tracker?
She's so committed to the title.
Well, no, because I didn't, because we could go tracking Trump. There's many ways.
We liked your first instinct.
Trump Tracker.
Trump Tracker. So it's just once a week.
Pretty Late's Trump Tracker has picked up three quotes this week, and we'll do this every week, like you
said. Yes, so we'll do some of the quotes. And, you know, and look, if it comes to the point where Hillary also does outrageous things, these are outrageous things by my barometer. By the way, this is a talk show. I want to remind people I'm not a journalist. my show is conversations based on opinions and thoughts and things that are going on.
Yeah.
So, my opinion, these are outrageous things.
Yeah.
And it could be outrageously good. Yeah. It could be huge. It could be, but these are the most outrageous things that have come across the wires from the Trump mouth. Can we hear number three this week, I guess?
But this.
Yep.
The things that were said about me. I mean, should I go through some of the names? No, you know what? I wanted to hit a couple of those speakers so hard, I would have hit them. No. I was going to hit them, so I was all set. And then I got a call from a highly respected governor. How's it going, Donald? I said, well, it's going good, but they're really saying bad things about me. I'm going to hit them so hard. I was going to hit one guy in particular, a very little guy. I was going to hit this guy so hard, his head would spin. He wouldn't know what the hell happened. And he came out of nowhere. They make deals with me. Would you help me with this? Would you make this deal and solve the problem? I solve the problem. I do a great job. I was going to hit a number of those speakers so hard, their heads would spin. They'd never recover. And that's what I did with a lot of, that's why I still don't have certain people endorsing me. They still haven't recovered, okay? You know?
I don't know what that means, but they had certain people endorse me. I was trying to track the thought, but he would like to hit people that said things about him.
Metaphorically, right?
No, I don't think he hit them so hard. Well, he didn't say hit them in the checkbook. He didn't say hit them in the face either.
Yeah.
So perhaps it could be metaphorical.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to go someplace where someone would be violent that you can't even hear the word hit and you have to think?
Well, it's hard for me because he's not like a nimble guy. Like, he's not that
young
to be like
Can he follow through?
To hitting a lot of people.
Right.
Like there's a lot of people in there who's going to hit really hard. I don't see a man of his age being able to have that endurance.
Well, he did isolate and say there was a little guy in particular, yeah. Right? So yeah. I think he even knows he should start small.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's were you going to say something, Craig? Yeah, it was. He's got to start small. Yeah. He wants to hit people.
That is funny that you think he would hit them all one at a time, as opposed to like Trump. I would picture him sucker punching people every so often, and he could do that over time.
Okay. Yeah. I figured he was like going to go to a room they were all in and somehow fight them all at once.
Exactly.
That's the picture I picked.
Like he has it. Like somehow they're just walking down the street, and a car pulls up, and people drag him into a car, and then he hits them in the car. Or does he collect them and then hit them?
I saw him like in my mind, like he'd go up to them right after they spoke and just been like pop, and then like the second person he'd do it to, and then they start to catch on, and then he'd really have to fight,
right?
Because the other guys wouldn't be recovering as quick as.
Did you ever have anybody in school that said, "Meet me on the playground or meet me after school and we're gonna fight"?
No, I feel like that happened, but to me, people would just like pick on me, and then it would never go further
than that. In your life, has anyone ever asked you to settle things outside? Has that ever been said to you?
No. To me, it was.
Really?
Let's call her Evie, because that was her name. And I did. She told me to meet her by the mail. Ness Vegas, that's also her name. She told me to meet her by the mailbox. There was at the corner of Raven.
There's a lot of mailboxes.
No, at the corner, right in front of our school.
Oh, okay.
And she told me to meet her out there.
Yeah.
And she, because she was going to settle things.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. I don't know what made her so mad. I brought up her name today to my mom. She was, oh, that little girl. She was terrible. And so I went out there, and I was so fed up with her taunting me and teasing me and making fun of me. So I used to just run home, because there were other kids that beat me up. Let's call them Jeff, because that was their name, and Mark. And so I was just done. I was just tired of being threatened. So I was like, come on. And I came out and I like threw my stuff down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, let's just do this. And she goes, I have to go home. My mom wants me to be home right after school. And I didn't know. I didn't know if you just like just showed up. Like that's where I think I learned just show up.
Yeah.
I mean,
you scared her away.
I don't know if that works for everybody. And I was telling Elliot Serrano this story a few weeks ago, and because we were driving down Northwest Highway, and I'm like, oh, this girl Evie's family used to own that bar, and I was like, we should go in there. I want to see what that place is like, right? So we went in there and we ordered something, and the woman behind the bar, I said, you know, I used to know the family that owned this place, and she's like, who? And I said, the Ness Vegas. Mm. She goes, it was Evie.
That was the person behind the bar.
And she came around and she gave me a hug, and she hugged me. Craig, I was like, I couldn't. But I have had that, like, that's such a juvenile thing to say, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
I mean, basically that's what Donald Trump is saying, meet me outside.
Do you think, and I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore, but do you think he actually thinks and talks that way? Or do you think he's like, these are the people who I want to vote for me, the ones that think and talk like this?
That would like to settle things out on the playground?
Yeah, he's like, this is my audience, this is the people, like, I have this in me, so I'm going to draw this out. Or do you think he's actually like, this is who he really is?
I don't know, because I mean, does he? And he doesn't seem to have a history of violence.
Because in my head, he can't be really. Yeah, in my head is like, he can't be really like that.
Does he? I don't think there's ever been any indication that he's a violent guy.
No.
Remember when he said he wanted to shoot? He could shoot somebody in the face, and his supporters would still like him. He said that, but that's not what we want to talk about. Let's do a couple more when we come back after this. It is Trump Tracker Wednesday, every Wednesday at midnight. This is the only time. Okay, maybe tomorrow. We have to talk about Trump tomorrow because we have Scott Stantis on the show. I've invited him to come in earlier for hopefully it's tomorrow. Hopefully we're doing that tomorrow. I'm not sure yet.
I think we also have Warren tomorrow too.
Excellent.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think Warren would love to be witness to what will possibly happen. And we have to talk about Trump because it's part of that story. But for the most part, we are making commitment to you, listeners, that we are going to limit our Trump conversations to Trump Tracker Wednesday at midnight. More after this on 720 WGN.
Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys. Take them down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great.
Austin, you're not dancing to the trumpets.
So I got really scared. It was kind of like I was being hypnotized for a moment.
Those are the trumpets, yes, Craig?
He's also standing in solidarity until they get paid, right? You're not going to enjoy the music until they're paid.
They were not paid.
What?
They were not. Donald Trump's campaign stiffed the little girls who performed that song.
At the thing?
Yeah, at that rally. Yeah, so that also happened. Yes, Craig?
No, it's just funny. Another group that worked with Donald, and they didn't wind up with any money, so that's rough.
Well, they're not voting, so why does he care?
Exactly. But it's their dad.
Yeah.
Apparently they're supposed to pay. All right, Craig, let's hear another Trump tracker moment.
The biggest in the world, a Chinese bank. Don't worry about that baby. I love babies. So I love babies. I hear that baby crying. I like it. What a baby. What a beautiful baby. Don't worry. Don't worry. The mom's running around like, don't worry about it, you know? It's young and beautiful and healthy, and that's what we want. Okay. The piggy bank. They have ripped us to shreds. Ripped us absolutely to shreds. Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she really believed me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking. That's okay.
Yeah.
People don't understand.
Michael, when I hear that, I heard it before, but now just hearing it, it sounds like a comic who's lost control of the room, and they're frustrated because the set's getting disrupted.
There was a baby at the show tonight.
Yeah. No.
A three-month-old named Huxton.
I don't know what to do with that information.
Yeah, there were a couple from Idaho. Pat McGann was hosting, and he did a really good job of like...
But babies aren't allowed. It's a 21 and over club.
Yeah, they must not have carded.
Who was working the door?
Martine
was there?
Yeah, I think they bought tickets. The parents were there, and they just...
So... No,
but, did Huxton cry?
No, he was very quiet.
But, oh, nice.
But Donald Trump would have been happy with that baby.
Yeah, we wouldn't have known he was there other than Pat McGann being like... And we even, like, we all, like, applauded over his name. Like, there was a lot of reference to him, and he was quiet the whole time. Huxton, apparently.
Oh, Huxton. I've heard
Huxton.
Of
Huxton. Oh, you've heard Huxton before? They've, they let their three-year-old name their baby.
Did the three-year-old at least put a list together?
I don't know.
The first thing that the baby said?
I have no idea.
Huxton?
I didn't even know that was a name, because he was like, oh, is that a family? And they're like, no, we let our three-year-old name our child.
And they also, where was the three-year-old? How come the three-year-old wasn't at the comedy club?
You know, sometimes Pat McGann leaves stones
unturned.
Yeah. That's one of the things no one talked about.
Yeah, you don't want to poke at
that.
It
was time for me to go on stage, so he didn't ask. But yeah, we were all wondering, like, was the baby just, like, the three-year-old just in Idaho still?
I don't understand why there was a baby at the comedy club. Yeah. I mean, I get the people want to go out.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a loud movie or there's a lot of violence.
Yeah, and there's no smoke.
But
it gets kind of loud.
It does get a little bit loud.
Yeah, if the comedians are doing well and they're laughing a little.
And they're clapping. Yeah. You're hoping, you want that baby
I
to
hope
be
a
awake.
Baby can't live through that.
Yeah, I know. But when Donald Trump starts to say, first he says, don't worry, he's trying to soothe the mom and tell her it's okay. Because after all, she's at one of his rallies. She's one of his supporters. Yeah. It's like us when we have a small crowd. We're not going to get mad at them for being there. But at the same time, we don't want them to be disruptive. Mm-hmm. So we try to be nice and handle it in the most kind way we can. And that's how he starts out.
Yeah.
I love babies. They're young. They're beautiful. And for a moment, I thought, yes, Craig?
Well, no, go. I want you to finish your point, but I was so taken off guard by how nice he was and how he even explains, like, oh, she's running around. Like, don't worry about it. As the mother, you probably would have felt great. You'd been like, oh, this presidential candidate just told me to sit down and let my baby cry. This is so lovely.
Yeah.
Fast forward 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kidding. Get it out of here. Get the baby out of here. and then that's one thing, right? I was kidding. Get the baby out of here. And then to continue to, can you believe she believed me? Like, I want a baby. I like that.
It sounded like a comedian in a comedy club.
Doesn't it?
I didn't know if he was losing control, but it sounded like, it's not because they were laughing a lot. I was like, this guy should do a set.
It's exactly what it sounded like was a comics set.
Yeah.
Esmeralda, had you heard that clip before?
I had not.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was. He's like, ah, come on. I don't want that baby crying.
Yeah. I don't know. And I guess it makes sense because it is distracting as a performer.
Yes.
You know that there's, it's very hard to get your momentum.
Uh-huh.
It ruins your timing to have something. If it's like having a phone go off, right?
It's both. You think, oh, I can hear it. But then you always know everyone else can hear it. So it's like you're constantly going back and forth between that thought of like, oh, they're distracted. I'm distracted.
Yeah. Everyone's focused on the baby.
Yeah.
But he was handling it the way you should.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was actually a moment where you say, hey, maybe anyone want to help her through a door to go help her cheer up her baby.
Yeah.
There's a nice way to do that. And I think there's a video of Barack Obama, President Obama, soothing a baby today, like getting a baby to stop crying. Like that's a moment where you take the baby and say,
if I were Trump, I would be happy to have an opportunity to not talk. Like, and dig myself a bigger hole.
Well,
that's
just insane.
Talk about this baby for a little bit.
You know, Trump not talking.
That's a moment where you have the whole crowd like sing a lullaby for the baby. If your followers are that that much in your court, why not get them to sing lullaby baby? And the I mean, I think that's what they could have. That would have been, what a great moment that would have been. Yeah. What a missed opportunity to sing a lullaby. The whole room could have sung to that baby. All right, Craig, let's see what the next clip is.
Maybe they all would have felt
so this third one is not actually Donald Trump. This is a spokesperson for the Trump campaign.
Right.
But surely you can understand the confusion, considering how Donald Trump never voted for the Iraq war. Hillary Clinton did. And then she didn't support the troops to have what they need. It was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagements that probably cost his life. So I don't understand why it's so hard to understand why Donald Trump was confused about why he was being held responsible for something he had nothing to do with, while Hillary Clinton had everything to do with.
In that moment, she said that Barack Obama was responsible, President Obama was responsible for the death of the young man, officer. The parents that were talking at the DNC last week, the cons, one of them held out a pocket constitution. I don't know if you've read the constitution, but I have one in my pocket if you want to borrow it. Their son was killed there from Syria. They're Muslim.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were talking about his desire to ban Muslims and that, you know, that we have to keep them out of the country. Well, here's a young man who devoted his life, and they made the ultimate sacrifice. And look, parents on both sides, and this is something too that I am concerned about, wheeling out grief for political purposes. I think this happened. We talked about this at Esmeralda at the RNC, parents who lost a child at Benghazi, and these parents. But Hillary did not respond to the mother whose child was killed in Benghazi. Silence as far as, you know, whether it's not attacking that mother, nothing, right? No response. But Donald Trump's response was to sort of disparage this fallen soldier, and there's been a lot of backlash. Well, the spokesperson said that it was under President Obama, and it was his policies that he died. Well, Barack Obama was not the president of the United States in 2004 when this soldier died.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of confusion, and they're scrambling too. The campaign is scrambling to find a way to. I don't know how they unraveled so quickly.
The whole party is scrambling. Like, it sounds like that.
Well,
like,
there are advisors that have been working with the GOP for decades who are like, I can't vote for him. John McCain came out and said that he was very disappointed and outraged, and he hasn't taken away his support. Although I also saw that Donald Trump is not going to support John McCain or Paul Ryan in their campaigns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's not going to, which that kind of is confusing.
I think this might lead to a third party.
You would think.
Like a Donald Trump party.
The party actually might split. I think that would actually happen in our lifetimes.
I think that would be interesting.
There's actually a third party conservative that's polling at 12% right now.
Is it Johnson Weld?
Yeah, Johnson Weld.
Interesting. And they have to get to 15%. To be part of the national debate, to be in the televised debates, and that was the other thing we don't have a clip for. But he said that Donald Trump said that the NFL sent him a letter, upset that they were going to program the debates against the NFL, and the NFL is like, no, we didn't, we did not do that. So, but I wanted to talk about that for just one more moment, because in response to the cons, another parent whose child was killed in the line of duty, police officer, she was saying that the parents aren't heroes. Your son was a hero. How dare you politicize this? Esmeralda, I was, Brendan Weatherby pointed out that I also was politicizing by responding to someone else's political conversation about banning Mexicans. And I said, well, a family member of mine was killed by a white man, and I am not calling for the ban of all white men. Mm-hmm. I was also politicizing in response. So now you have this like piling on of, well, is my grief more important than your grief? Yeah. And so it's a politicizing of personal grief that is sort of uncomfortable.
I think anytime grief is sort of wheeled out for a cause other than like just soothing that grief, it's just unfortunate.
Well, and that's the idea, like the idea that we should retribution, right? Revenge, I guess, is part of why I need this to be heard. Someone has to be responsible, right? We all feel like that we need some justice. There has to be resolution to this, and we want that release of punishment or victory in some way. And the problem is that you never get there. The person who murdered my brother was executed, and I'm not for the death penalty, which is selfish of me, because my brother's killer was executed, but it didn't bring any. Now on this side, I know that it brought no relief to our family.
Yeah.
And the thing was, what always bothered my father was that my brother's murderer never admitted it, never asked for forgiveness, never had that moment of accepting that this was what he did. He always denied it.
Wow.
And so there was no peace. And whether or not he was alive in jail for the rest of his life, I don't know what different. I mean, yeah. I think that there is a part, a lot of family members, it makes them so angry to know that someone's alive. Then they have somewhere to compartmentalize their grief.
Yeah.
But once that anger is gone, you will always have that grief. Yeah. And it never gets easier. It just gets different.